Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of A Photographic Life. The title of this podcast was chosen initially with the idea that it would document my life in photography, sort of a looking back as well as a reflection on what was happening. But I soon realised that that was going to bore me, and I thought, well, if that's going to bore me, it's certainly going to bore you. And so the idea of the podcast kind of spread out, it evolved and it developed. Well, that's true, but in a way it isn't true, because it's remained the fact that for me there is no kind of break, there is no separation, there is no frontier between the life that I lead and photography. And that was particularly shown to me recently when, of all things, I went to get a kitchen designed, I suppose, one of these expensive companies that come and they design the kitchen for you, and they come and they fit a kitchen in your home. I'd been thinking about doing it on my own, and in fact I think that's probably what I'll end up doing, but I was interested as to the approach and ideas that might come from a professional in the field. All of this, of course, is because I'm moving home and the new house comes with the tag potential, and therefore it needs a new kitchen anyway. Myself, my wife, my daughter visited the kitchen showroom. We were met by somebody who was aggressive, egotistical, and actually said at one point that people came to her because then she could tell them what to do. I explained to her that I had a very good idea what we wanted, and we were, both my wife and I were in agreement about what we wanted, and therefore we weren't going to require these things. Each time she tried to sell us something more, and each time we said no, she took offence. She didn't seem to think that we were serious or that we were taking her seriously. But of course, we were playing the role of customer. On that basis, she should have listened to us, and then she could have had a conversation and so forth. Anyway, the whole experience was really pretty horrible, and at one point I was close to just walking out and saying, let's just forget this. After that experience, we went to a local retailer of various white goods for kitchens and utility rooms, where we were met by some really friendly, informed people who weren't pushy in any way, and we ended up spending a lot more money than we'd intended to spend, and we bought everything we wanted with a smile on our face. We left knowing that we would recommend that place to anybody. Now, what has any of this got to do with photography? Well, for me, it's got everything to do with photography. I instantly started to think that if I was going to enter a situation with a client as a photographer and exhibited the kind of arrogance that the kitchen designer showed and didn't listen, I wouldn't get employed very often, and certainly not again. I also wouldn't make a very good impression on somebody if I was showing my work to them for the first time. However, the second people, they backed off a little bit. They had their knowledge, but they didn't feel the need to show it off. They didn't feel the need to talk about it. They allowed us to speak, and they responded, and a conversation was had. For me, this is absolutely intrinsic if you're going to work in the world of photography. You have to be able to listen, but you also have to be professional. You have to know what you're talking about. You don't just have to shout it, or I should say, you shouldn't just shout it from the mountaintops at every chance you get. Maybe that's a sign of insecurity. But I know that that kitchen designer lost out on a sale to us, whereas the other people didn't. So if you're thinking about working in the world of photography and getting commissioned and paid, I'd suggest be more like the white goods seller and not like the highly paid, highly priced, highly opinionated designer. This week, we welcome to the podcast to explain to us what photography means to her in under 5 minutes, Tria Guevan, who was born in 1961 in Chicago, Illinois, and was raised on the St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. Now she is a New York-based photographer who is drawn to subjects that intertwine the personal and the observational. The in-depth and long-term nature of her projects is driven by curiosity, emotional connection, and a desire to create images that reflect an informed and humanistic engagement with the external world. Often working with material from her archive spanning across decades, she investigates concepts of preservation and legacy by creating visual testaments with her photographs. Her diverse subject exploration has ranged from New York City's Lower East Side to an ongoing photographic journal of her family and ancestral home in Rhode Island to a six-year project photographing 1990s Cuba, as well as a dedicated decade of site-specific images of the coastal shores of Long Island. She is the author of four monographs to date: Luis Aida, New York Street Work, 1984 to 1990, The Cuba Archive Photographs, 1990 to 1996, San Sea Sky, 2012, and Cuba, The Elusive Island, which was published back in 1996. Her work has been exhibited in the US and internationally, and her photographs are held in the collections of the Museum of Modern Art, the Brooklyn Museum, the Library of Congress, the Museum of the City of New York, and the New York Public Library, among others. Her work has appeared in Aperture, Harper's, The Guardian, The New York Times Magazine, The Smithsonian Travel and Leisure, Vogue, and many other publications, I should say. I was doing so well up until that point. Let's listen, shall we?
Hello, my name is Tria Giovan. I am a photographer based in Sag Harbor, New York. And what does photography mean to me? Well, photography has been in my life for as long as I can remember. Both my parents were avid photographers. My dad had his Leicas and my mom had a Nichromat. And they signed me up for photography classes when I was 8 years old. Coming of age in the 60s and 70s, photography had a mystique and it was captivating. From the images of the World and Life magazine to the many cameras like the Instamatic or the Brownie, it was accessible and it was everywhere. Lots of high schools had photography classes, and as a kid, you took it seriously. You had to learn your f-stops and your shutter speeds, how to process film and mix chemistry. Plus, many people had home darkrooms in their bathrooms, in their closets. It was alchemy, and it was magical to see an image come up in the tray or process your own film. Even picking up your prints from the photo kiosk in the parking lot was exciting. So photography was cool, and being a photographer was super cool. So once I started taking pictures, I never stopped. I've been working professionally for over 40 years, both in a documentary, straight color tradition, doing long-term projects for exhibition and collection that have culminated in a number of books. I've also always worked as an assignment photographer, doing primarily editorial work, interior design, gardens, and travel, among other things. So photography has really been the driving force in my life. It's how I engage my curiosity, my sense of adventure, and my creative energy. It's been a way to take these ephemeral moments that are made up of gesture, or color, or light, and form, and turn them into images, and eventually into stories. It's a creative process and a craft that's always evolving, and it's still compelling. And I'm always learning something new. When I immerse myself in a project, I do feel a responsibility to be informed about my subject. I think knowledge brings depth to images and makes for a more intimate and a comprehensive narrative. And the end result, my ideal, is to make images that reflect an informed and humanistic engagement with the world. So I often think about how what we choose to focus on as photographers can speak about our personality or be influenced by our past. I mean, obviously the way we see and how we engage is shaped by who we are and our perceptions. But for me, the work I've done has been quite varied. Extensive work in Cuba in the 90s, the Lower East Side of New York in the 80s, an ongoing project with my family and our home in Rhode Island, and a decade of photographing seascapes on the eastern end of Long Island, among other ongoing projects. And even to me, they seem a little bit all over the map. However, in hindsight, I see my methods and intentions are consistent, and I can always trace their genesis back to something personal. One commonality has always been my desire to photograph when I sense change is imminent or something is in danger of disappearing altogether. Of course, everything is always changing, but preservation and creating visual legacies has always been an important aspect of my work, and it's certainly something the medium does so well. Also, it seems that if you take pictures for long enough, they will eventually inherently have historical value. So photography or photographing for me is a practice in being present and in the moment. And it's from that place that I respond intuitively to my surroundings. And I think that when you do that with sensitivity, empathy, knowledge, and respect, that's when photography is at its best. For me, anyway, that's what I aspire to. So the photographer Mary Ellen Marks said, "Photograph the world as it is. Nothing's more interesting than reality." I would have to agree. And I feel incredibly blessed to still be inspired to photograph the world around me. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Tria, for your contribution this week. As always, picking up on so many interesting themes that have been dominant in previous contributions, also empathy being mentioned there and the importance of history. Of course, as always, if you're not aware of her work, I really recommend that you check it out. If you go to the website, unitednationsphotography.com, where this podcast is also posted, you'll get a hot link there direct to her website. So check out her work. I should also remind you that there is a link on there called, right at the top of the page, actually, called What Does Photography Mean to, I think it's me or you, I can't remember. Anyway, you'll see it. If you click on that link, you'll see a list of every single contributor we've had to the podcast over the years, well over 300, with hot links for every one to their websites. I think that's a really useful resource, especially if you're a teacher of photography. Send your students in that direction and they'll find out a lot more about photography than they're going to find by going on Pinterest or on Instagram, where images are so often viewed out of context. But one of the things that Tria picked up on there, which, as always, nothing planned, but kind of connects with something else that happened to me over the last couple of weeks, is that we had the launch for my book, Inside Vogue House, which is on sale now. Of course, I've got to plug it. But we had that launch at Hatchards in Piccadilly in London, the oldest bookshop in the UK, a beautiful space. If you are ever in London, make sure you visit Hatchards. Anyway, we took over the top floor of the building where all the photography and design books are. It was a really great space and it was a really great evening. What was interesting for me was so many people who kindly came along to support the project on the evening who I haven't seen in over 25 years or so. And a couple of people whom I met 40-odd years ago when I first started working in magazines and the creative industries. Now, what's interesting, I suppose, also with the benefit of hindsight, and we're all older and we have slightly different conversations with each other, is how many of them described me as a person that I didn't recognise. They identified in me interests and approaches to the work I was doing at the time, which to them pointed a direction away from what I was doing. It was really nice to have so many people say positive things about me and about what I'd done and how I'd worked. We all like that, don't we? Of course we do. We like that element of validation. So much more important than when you ask for it. And I'm certainly not somebody asking for it, that's for sure. But it then did make me think about that idea of the self-portrait, that idea of the documentation of the self. And then we look back and do we really recognise ourselves in that picture? I've not been somebody who's keen on being photographed. I always say that I live very much in the shadows, and I have to say a big thank you to photographer Daffy Jones, who documented the evening. He got lots of good pictures of other people. I can't say I'm hugely impressed by how I look in them, but that's more my fault than his fault. But anyway, it did make me think about photography and that idea of the expression of the self. Maybe it's something I should have done more of. Maybe it's something I should be doing in the future. I wonder if it's something you're doing. This podcast began when I moved into a new house with a shed, the house that I'm currently living in, although over the last few weeks I've had to move out of the shed as the whole house gets boxed up. Well, it's not long now before we actually move to our new house, and it made me think about a lot of things, because in the new house, my studio and my workspace used to be the garage, like an internal garage part of the house, so not quite as cold as it has been over the last few years in the shed. But then I started to think, well, the shed is over, long live the shed. But maybe we should now kind of take the podcast in new directions and try new things as it gets a new home. I'm a great believer in that, in trying out new things and not getting too stuck in a rut. Anyway, the result of this I'm going to be explaining in next week's podcast, and we've got some new people joining us for a conversation every month. Don't worry, Bill's still going to be joining us in the first week of each month, but we're going to have somebody else joining us as well later on in the month, and we're going to try a few new things. So as always, I hope it works out. If it doesn't, we'll just evolve and develop as we always do. We're always open here to themes, dreams and schemes. But what I'd also like to do, of course, is keep hearing from you guys. The moment I mentioned we were doing something different, there seemed to be a positive response. I hope you like what we're doing. We're always trying to stay ahead of what a traditional, I suppose, photo podcast sounds like, deals with and is about. We've never been two guys sitting in a room drinking coffee and being kind of blokey. We've never been about kit. We've never been about taking cameras and sponsorship from dealers and makers and allowing that to influence our editorial decisions. In fact, I'd almost say I don't have any editorial decisions. I just sit down each week, as you probably know, in front of the microphone and talk. And I think that's what we'll keep doing. But that conversation, that talk, will just get a little bit more expansive. Anyway, by the time you hear this episode, I'll already be starting to unpack, ripping out carpets, getting used to painting walls, dealing with plumbers and electricians, and all of that kind of stuff. I'm sure you know what I mean. It's not fun, but at the same time, it gives you a sense of kind of progression, and that's always a good thing. Anyway, one more episode to record in the old house. You'll hear that in a couple of weeks' time. And I'll welcome you to the garage when I get myself set up. In the meantime, I'm going to take care. And I'm sure you're going to also.